In the shadow of the Himalayan mountains on ancient Terra, 20 capsules were cast adrift through the warp. Genetic progeny of the Emperor himself. Among them was one destined to become the swiftest of all. His pod flung far from humanity's cradle, crashing upon the open steppe lands of a world known to Imperials as Mundus Planus, though its people called it by a simpler name, Chagoras. This was a feudal world, fertile, vibrant, and scarred by the age of strife. It had clawed its way back to a Renaissance-level society, where black powder had only just begun to thunder on the battlefield. Across the vast plains and mountains of Chagoras, power belonged to noble houses and monarchs, ruled in the east by a proud tyrant known as the Palatine. But in the empty quarter, those wild, wind-bitten plains of the west, life moved to a different rhythm. Nomadic tribes roamed free, unburdened by cities, governed by the brutal customs of horse and blood. And it was there that the pod opened. A child of otherworldly beauty and presence was found by a wandering chieftain of the Talskar tribe, a man called Ong Khan. He took the boy as his own, raising him among his people, never knowing the son he had adopted was not of this world. The boy grew quickly, learning the ways of the steppe, of war, survival, and honor. But fate came swiftly. Ong Khan and his warriors were murdered by a rival tribe, the Kuraid, a blood debt by Chagorian custom. Most sons would have taken a few lives in vengeance. Jagatai did more. He unleashed his fury upon the Kuraid. In a single night, their village burned, their warriors were slain, and the chieftain's head hung above Jagatai's tent. None were spared. It was a massacre that shattered the tribal cycle of revenge, and it earned him a name. Warrior, butcher, genius. He was elected Khan of the Talskars, and with the wind at his back, he declared a new purpose: to unite all the tribes of the Empty Quarter. One by one, they either fell or bent the knee. Those who submitted were honored. Those who resisted, erased. Jagatai broke the power of tribalism by dissolving bloodlines, forming new warrior bands with mixed heritage, and commanding loyalty to him, not lineage. Within mere decades, the plains were one people beneath his banner. And he was no longer merely a Khan. He became Khagan, the Khan of Khans. His greatest test came not from men, but from the warp. A cult of chaos had begun to fester on Chagoras' central continent, spreading its corruption through cities and fields. Jagatai led 10,000 horsemen against them, charging through black powder and cannon fire. Many fell, but none fled. And in the end, the cult was annihilated. To the east, the Palatine Empire watched from afar. For centuries, they had hunted nomads for sport. That changed the day the Palatine's son tried to claim Jagatai as prey. only for his head to return instead. And it bore a message. The people of the steppes are yours no longer. The Palatine brought war. Armored knights, heavy cavalry, thousands. They met the Khagan's bow-wielding riders on the open plain. And they never returned. The horse tribes, faster and more agile, rained death from afar. The Palatine was slain, his empire shattered, his cities taken or razed. The world fell to the Khagan, and with each conquest, he offered the same choice: serve or die. In just 20 standard years, Jagatai forged a global empire. Peace followed. Swift, brutal, and final. And then, from the sky, came a stranger. In 865 M30, a ship descended upon Chagoras. From it stepped the Emperor of Mankind, flanked by Horus and the 16th Legion. Ironically, it was not the 5th Legion that discovered the world of their gene sire, but the Luna Wolves. Jagatai met his father with eyes unflinching. The Khagan had conquered a world. The Emperor had conquered hundreds. Still, the two men saw something in one another. Most chronicles claim that Jagatai submitted in awe. His own writings suggest otherwise. He saw a man who offered the same choice he had once offered the tribes: submit and rise, or resist and fall. And so Jagatai did not kneel out of fear, but calculation. He bargained. In exchange for loyalty, he demanded respect for the people of Chagoras, and a voice in the Imperium's future. And so the Emperor gave him a new purpose, and the Khan of Khans slipped free of the burden of rule. War called to him once more. The 5th Legion had long since earned the name Star Hunters, for they prowled the void alone, scattered across forgotten fronts. What Jagatai inherited was not a legion, but 1,000 warbands, brothers in blood, strangers in name. So he did what he had always done. He summoned them. Astropathic calls rang across the stars. Over the course of a decade, the pioneer companies returned, wary, bitter, and proud. They gathered in the empty quarter, and the Khagan saw that though their armor bore many colors, their gene seed was the same. He bound them in culture where genetics failed. Upon the wide plains of Chagoras, they took the blooding. 50,000 warriors drew blades and carved scars into their faces, marking the end of their old lives. Then came the naming, a rite of rebirth. They shed their pasts and took new names, many in the old tongue of Chagoras, names that spoke of deeds and dreams. And thus, the White Scars were born. The Khagan gave his warriors more than scars, however. He taught them the noble pursuits, calligraphy, hunting, storytelling, arts that sharpened the mind as well as the blade. It was a blend of tradition and practicality, and it clashed with the Imperial truth. The emperor's secular doctrine allowed no room for superstition. Yet Jagatai did not bend. And some, like Gilliman and Lorgar, took issue with this. But Jagatai had seen the world broken by pride. He knew the cost of stubborn unity. What he forged was not perfect, but it was strong. In time, the disparate nomads became one legion. They carried scars on their faces and poetry in their hearts. They rode into war like storms, and above them all, at the head of the thunder rode the Khan of Khans, his eyes forever on the horizon, his heart beating to the rhythm of the hunt. After the unifying rites of blood and name upon the open plains of Chagoras, the Khagan knew that tradition alone would not bind his legion. Ritual could forge identity, but only war could forge loyalty. Thus, Jagatai Khan led his newly reborn White Scars into the stars, to test their mettle not as scattered warbands, but as a legion. Their proving ground was the Kolarn Circle, a lawless region long left to fester in the dark. Scouted decades earlier by the 103rd Pioneer Company, the Soul Hunters, it was known to harbor both feral and degenerate strains of mankind and roving Xenos hosts. These were not worlds of great value or glory. They held no vital resources, but the Khagan had chosen them with purpose. On these brutal, ash-scoured worlds, no single company could prevail alone. The Fifth Legion would either learn to fight as one, or be broken. Into this crucible, Jagatai scattered the warriors of his Chagorian Keshik, men whose names would echo across centuries. Each was entrusted with a spark of the Khagan's wisdom, to lead by deed, to teach through war. 80,000 warriors entered the circle. For 5 Terran years, they battled across its burning skies and bloodied soil. 1 in 10 would not return. The orc hordes of Singermar and Vorgeist were shattered through mobile warfare, where speed was weapon and ambush an art. Though outnumbered, the Chagorian style of strike and fade proved to be brutally effective. On worlds where others would have dug in or faltered, the White Scars danced across the battlefield like the steppe wind. Some companies fought alone for years, unsupported, isolated deep in enemy systems. But the old pioneer companies, forged in solitude, endured. They adapted. With every ambush, every silent kill beneath alien moons, the feral fury of Chagoras was married to the seasoned resolve of Terra's veterans. The Khagan led from the front in every battle, his presence like fire in the bloodstream of his legion. At first, they followed him because he was their lord. Soon, they vied to fight at his side, inspired by the savage joy he took in war. Their loyalty was no longer to Terra, nor to the dream of a distant Imperium. They followed the Khan of Khans. In those days, none questioned such loyalty. A Primarch was the Emperor's will made flesh. To love him was to serve the Imperium. When the final battle came upon the ash fields of Kalarn itself, the Legion stood as one. The circle was theirs, one through flame and blood. The worlds, once desolate and war-torn, now became recruiting grounds. From Chagoras, from Terra, and from the ash-covered remnants of the circle, the Legion was rebuilt. Stronger, sharper, reborn. No longer would they haunt the edges of the Great Crusade. The first blooding was complete, and the white scars emerged not as stragglers, but as one of the Emperor's frontline blades. When they rejoined the Great Crusade, the white scars no longer fought as fractured pioneer companies. They finally rode together, a true legion. The galaxy was aflame in the final century of the 30th millennium. The Imperium expanded like wildfire, pushing its borders to the void's very edge. Terrible foes rose to resist mankind's dominion, and were cast down by the fury of the Legion's Astartes. The White Scars lacked the sheer numbers of some of their kin, but what they lacked in mass, they more than made up for in momentum. Where others planned, they struck. Where others entrenched, they advanced. They descended upon enemies like a sudden monsoon, unseen, unrelenting, and unforgivable. To many, they appeared no more than savage raiders, no better than Angron's berserkers or the savage executioners of Fenris. But those who fought beside them and survived knew otherwise. Their savagery was precise, their chaos controlled. They scorned endless planning, favoring instinct honed in blood. And though they moved with wild fury, they did not do so without thought. They were craftsmen, scholars, and poets. They honored beauty as they honored war. They carried wisdom like a quiver, drawing knowledge as others drew blades. They were both storm and silence, hunter and sage. As Sanguinius once said of them, they smile often, and they laugh when they kill. They fought for joy, not cruelty, for honor and not slaughter. When they showed no mercy, it was in respect for a worthy foe, not bloodlust. When they defied imperial command, it was not rebellion, but confidence in their own way of war. They sought no validation, only results. And yet, still many saw them as lessers, outsiders, nomads. Most Primarchs kept their distance. Gilliman, Dorne, men of walls and laws looked down upon their seeming lawlessness. The Khagan cared little. He kept to himself and to those who truly saw him. Horus, who recognized his skill. Sanguinius, ever the diplomat. And most of all, Magnus, the other outsider. The only one who matched Jagatai in both intellect and estrangement. While others gathered in council, the Khan roamed. While the Imperium became bureaucracy, he remained a warrior. Yet, as the galaxy grew tame beneath Imperial banners, he sensed a change. The wild was vanishing. The maps were filling. There were fewer places to run, fewer enemies to chase. The joy of conquest was being replaced by the weight of an empire. The Khan grew restless. A choice loomed. He could remain loyal and fade into administrative duty, slowly diminished, his legion neutered by peace. Or he could reject it, betray everything he'd helped build, and take back the wild. It was not time yet, but the storm was coming. There is a tale the White Scars tell, though seldom beyond their own brotherhoods. No remembrancer ever etched it in verse. No picked record preserves the light of dying cities, or the glint of blood on the Khagan's blade. But in whispered tones around campfires, or within the quiet of a thunderhawk's hold, the warriors of Chagoras speak of it when others scoff at the Khan's prowess, or mistake his smile for softness. They call it the Tale of the Pale Emperor. Its details have blurred across the centuries, embroidered by warrior poets and recited in shifting voices across brotherhoods. But some truths never change. One is that the tale unfolds in the final years of the Great Crusade, likely around 980 M30. Another is that five White Scar brotherhoods ventured into wild space near the Mandragorn sector. And the last, and most important, is that Jagatai Khan himself led them. At the galaxy's edge, amidst voids haunted by Xenos ghosts and half-charted stars, they found a string of worlds. Human worlds, isolated, yet advanced. Colonies of Terran descent that had survived the age of strife, not as feral shadows, but as refined echoes of lost civilization. The first of these worlds hosted several cities, prosperous and clean, technologically equal to the Imperium, yet small, too small to resist the Emperor's will for long. And yet, when Jagatai offered unity, peaceful compliance, as he had done many times before, he was not met with open arms, but with open fire. The White Scar's fleet came under attack. The void craft that rose against them were sturdy and determined, veterans, no doubt, of centuries of skirmishes with Xenos. But they were few. Their bravery was no match for the 12 Imperial warships that awaited them. The battle was brief. Their ships fell burning from the void. And in respect for their courage, the Great Khan let the survivors flee. With orbit secure, he struck the surface. Gunships and landing craft poured down upon the boreal plains at the edge of the settlements. Thousands of White Scars touched down, jet bikes roaring, banners snapping in the alien wind. Awaiting them were several hundred defenders clad in immense battle plate, each more war engine than man. Weapons bristled from their armor, cannons and beam arrays from another age. Neither side wished to despoil the city behind them, and so they met outside its walls, assembling in grim silence. Then came the roar of cannon, the scream of engines, and the clash of blades. The enemy's plate was formidable, ancient and heavy, proof against most standard weaponry. But they were slow. The white scars, born of the plains of Chagoras, fought with speed and fire. Jet bikes flanked and harried, marking weaknesses in joints and armor. Their enemies advanced in lockstep, trying to maintain formations, but they could not track the wind. Once the gaps formed, the jet bikes circled and turned, shifting from skirmish line to killing wedge. At this point rode the Khagan. Jagatai Khan, blade flashing, struck like lightning. Larger than most Astartes, and as fast as any of them, he carved through his foes with impossible grace. His warriors surged behind him. One by one, the armored giants fell. The city stood. Jagatai spared it. From among his victorious warriors, he chose three champions, honored emissaries, to carry his offer to the ruler of these worlds. Surrender and prosper, or resist and perish. It was how the Khan preferred his wars. Swift, fair, and followed by dignity, not annihilation. But the Pale Emperor, whose name is never remembered, responded with cruelty. His guards returned the emissaries in pieces. The Khan said nothing, but his rage was deep and cold. That night, the White Scars descended. They razed the city, tore down its towers, and hunted every last soul. No mercy, no survivors. They moved from world to world like a storm. Cities burned, thrones cracked. The Pale Emperor's domain became ash. At last, they came to his final stronghold. His palace gates fell like all the rest. His finest warriors died screaming. His court lay in ruins. The Pale Emperor was left alone, seated on a throne that could not save him. Jagatai stood before him, bloodied and unbowed. "You chose this doom. You forced my hand for the sake of your own petty pride. I would like to kill you, to have your blood join that of all the others you have forced me to kill, but I will not. You will remain here and let others know of the price of pride, that we shall not have to sully our blades again." So ends the tale, as most tell it. But among the oldest brotherhoods, the ones composed of the first true sons of Chagoras, another version is whispered. A different ending. The Khan, standing above the Pale Emperor, said instead, "You have chosen the doom I could not. You have chosen pride over servitude. I would like to kill you, for you remind me of my own choices, but I will not. You will remain here, so that I will remember the price of pride, and why we sully our blades with the slaughter of small emperors." When the Horus Heresy tore the galaxy apart, the White Scar stood at a crossroads. Jagatai Khan had long kept his legion apart, distant from the politics and rivalries that wove through the other legions. Though his closest bonds were with Horus Lupercal and Magnus the Red, The Khan remained solitary, guided by instinct and honor more than allegiance. At first, whispers spread that the White Scars might turn. They had no deep ties to Terra, nor strong oaths to the other loyalist legions. But such speculation failed to grasp the truth of the Khan. For while others built their strength on hierarchy or rage, he had built his upon freedom, and would never bow to a tyrant's will. When Horus made his move, the Khan hesitated, not from fear, but from clarity. He saw that both sides, loyalist and traitor, could destroy all he had built if the truth were not revealed in time. At Prospero, where the ashes of betrayal still hung thick in the air, the White Scars met the Thousand Suns. There, secrets unraveled. The Khan, torn between his affection for Magnus and loyalty to the Emperor, chose his path. He would not kneel to Horus. And from that moment on, the White Scars became a fury unbound. They rode across burning stars and shattered fleets, striking where needed, refusing to be pinned. They fought with unmatched speed, harrying traitor forces and shielding vital worlds. Though the path to Terra was long, the Khan carved it with blood and fire. At the Siege of Terra, they arrived when hope had nearly withered. Their jet bikes screamed over ruined battlements, slashing into traitor lines with righteous fury. Though the records are few, their presence was like a storm breaking the dead air. Swift, precise, and utterly unstoppable. After the heresy, the White Scars did not rest. They hunted the remnants of the traitor legions, carving bloody paths through warp-tainted space. Jagatai Khan himself led many of these campaigns, none more infamous than the year spent battling the Drakari, the cruel raiders of the Webway. In one final furious pursuit, the Khan chased a Dark Eldar raiding force into the labyrinthian tunnels of the Webway. His warriors fought beside him, but the paths twisted and the shadows deepened. There, at the edge of real space and madness, Jagatai vanished. No body was found, no message returned. Some say he was slain in battle, surrounded by enemies in the dark. Others whisper he still writhes within the Webway, lost but unbroken, biding his time. Among the White Scars, one truth remains. The Khan is not dead. He simply rides ahead. Since their days as nomadic hunters on the plains of Chagoras, the White Scars have perfected the art of pursuit. Augmented by gene-forged reflexes and centuries of tactical doctrine, they are among the Imperium's most formidable trackers. Their renown is such that even those outside their ranks know of the Master of the Hunt and his sacred quests. Yet such legends are only part of the story. Across the millennia, the White Scars have relentlessly hunted the Imperium's most elusive foes. One such prey was the Drakari homunculus known as the Shatterling Prince, a twisted creature who seeded phages and imperial food supplies and abducted entire garrisons for Komarog slave pits. In the early 41st millennium, the third and fifth brotherhoods of the White Scars, bolstered by elements of the eighth and ninth, descended upon the Asmari system to exterminate this threat. Captain Khajaatin Khan, leading the third brotherhood, orchestrated a cunning trap. While small scouting bands infiltrated the system aboard civilian freighters, Khajaatin struck Asmari Tertius with calculated fury, drawing out the homunculus's wrath. The Shatterling Prince responded, unleashing raiders and skimmers through hidden webway portals. As Drakari forces swarmed Asmari Tertius, fresh war parties emerged across the other worlds. But it was exactly what Khajaatin Khan had anticipated. With psychic cries from their storm seers lighting the void, the White Scars fleet surged into the system. Drop pods and thunderhawks screaming down upon the enemy. In brutal engagements across Asmari's worlds, the White Scars annihilated the Xenos warbands and sealed off the webway exits. Yet the Shatterling Prince himself never appeared. Khajaatin, unwilling to risk a doomed expedition into the webway, refused to pursue. Less than a year later, Khajaatin Khan was found slain in his meditation cell. His throat slit, his expression frozen in horror, and no trace of his killer. Every mirror and window within three levels had shattered. And the message was clear. The Shatterling Prince had struck from the shadows. A fresh hunt was then declared, and the White Scars would not rest until vengeance was done. And the Tyranids presented an enemy unlike any the White Scars had faced. On Hawdeck, Chaplain Subdakar Strike Force of the Second Brotherhood was annihilated by High Fleet Hydra, forcing the chapter to adapt or die. Khajaag Khan, inheritor of the Second Brotherhood's mantle, devised a plan forged from flame and fury. Luring the Tyranids to the lava-scarred world of Horatian Utuk, the White Scars deployed every flamer they could muster, setting Hive Lokvor ablaze. As the Tyranids turned to retaliate, the White Scars retreated into volcanic fields, drawing the swarms into a death trap. Molten eruptions consumed thousands of bioforms. Khajaag Khan's survivors soared skyward aboard dropcraft in the nick of time. It was only the first strike in a longer war against the Hydra, but it was still a bloody and brilliant beginning. And when Ghazkul Thraka unleashed his second Wah among Armageddon, the White Scars answered with three full brotherhoods. The Greenskins targeted the Southern Deadlands and its vital Promethium reserves. Chapter Master Jubal Khan split his forces. Subodhan Khan to the Promethium stations, while he took the north to destroy a suspicious orc shipyard. There, amidst scrapyard hell, the orcs worked tirelessly, assembling grotesque submersibles. Jubal led swift raids to sabotage the facilities, but the Greenskins built faster than he could destroy. Eventually, the White Scars were forced into brutal close-quarters warfare, burning through the shipyards building by building. Despite their efforts, orc vessels still slipped into the ocean, forcing Jubal to double down and raise what remained. Meanwhile, Subodin Khan launched a masterstroke into Dante's Canyon. Destroying the surrounding stations, he lured the orcs into a rigged valley, burying thousands beneath avalanches and cracked ice. As the war boss and his elite advanced, Subodin and his assault marines met them in savage combat. Wounded and grounded, Subodin slew the war boss with a final strike. The Greenskins broke, and the Deadlands were saved, at great cost. Amidst the shipyard chaos, White Scar's aircraft became lifelines. Storm Talons and Stormhawks bombarded the orc artillery, strafed enemy convoys, and intercepted flanking war bikes. Squadron Arashe, in particular, became a legend. Crippling orc fleets, dueling their crewed jets, and even detonating an infamous Blitzabomber squadron midair. The orcs unleashed a swarm of aircraft. Arashe met them head-on, outnumbered but undeterred. Their feats of aerial warfare inspired every brother who fought on Armageddon, proving once again that even in the most brutal of battlegrounds, the skies belonged to the sons of Chagoras. And then, as the galaxy buckled under the birth of the Great Rift, Huron Blackheart led a devastating assault out of the maelstrom. While Jubal Khan was still embroiled in Armageddon, it fell to Barutai Khan to defend Chagoras. Vastly outnumbered, Barutai knew this would not be a war of fleets. It would be settled on Chagoras' scorched soil. The Red Corsairs shattered world after world as they advanced upon Chagoras. Barutai rallied what forces he could, using Chagoras' brutal terrain to outmaneuver the enemy. The White Scars struck from storms and ambushed from canyons, but Blackheart's numbers were overwhelming. Tribe after tribe was massacred. Even when Jubal returned, their resistance only slowed the tide. Then the sky split open. The Cicatrix Maledictum bled madness into the world. Demons poured into the fray. In desperation, Jubal drew the enemy toward Quan Zhao, where the final siege began. In that darkest hour, Corsaro Khan, the master of the hunt, and his third brotherhood at last reached Chagoras. Braving warp storms, he rallied remnants of the chapter and led a devastating rear assault through a conjure tempest. And after days of brutal combat, Blackheart withdrew, but not without damage. Renegade warbands still ravaged Chagoras, and the world lay bloodied. Reinforcements finally arrived with the Indomitus Crusade. Battlegroup Delphi II brought new Primaris reinforcements and a fresh tide of vengeance. The White Scars began rebuilding, scarred but defiant. The hunt continues. The war never ends.
Thank you.